Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to The Road to Enlightenment with your host. I am Kelly Fitzgerald. My guest today is talking about a subject that I know so many people, when I mentioned what we were talking about, were so excited and interested in hearing from her. So I'm very, very grateful that she is here. Welcome to the show, Joni Isinger. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Kelly. I'm so happy that you invited me to be on your show. It's an honor.
Well, thank you for that. It's one of the wonderful things about doing the show is I get to talk to so many very, very amazing people who are just so enlightened, for lack of a better word, in different areas. And our topic today, pre-birth planning, is a topic that honestly I went back and looked over the 2.5 years that I've had the show, and I haven't had anyone else talking about it. So I am thrilled to be having this conversation.
I love this topic. It comes up all the time in my work, and many people aren't aware of this type of planning that we do before we come to Earth School, as I call it.
Let's get right into it. What is pre-birth planning? For people listening who don't have a clue what we're talking about, how would you explain that?
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back a little bit and then get to pre-birth planning.
Okay.
This is, and when I share, I don't impose. This is my truth. Everyone takes the information and gathers up and takes in what they believe and then might spit out the rest. So I don't push. My belief is that there are many, many realities, many planets, many places where we can incarnate. Earth is one of them. And we travel with members of our soul group. What is a soul group? Like-minded souls, they could be very varied in personality and essence, but that we enjoy being together as a group. Imagine a cast, a gigantic movie cast or a play cast of characters, and we tend to travel with them. Now we'll just talk about incarnating to Earth. We won't necessarily talk about going to other realities, other planets and realms. So before we come into an incarnation on Earth, we gather with members of our soul group, and we are met with guides, possibly angels, ascended masters, consciousnesses, star beings, and the like, whoever we wish to be with us. And it's a very special time, and we discuss, will we be masculine or feminine? Will we have siblings? Who our parents will be, where we will be born, when we will be born. We'll get a morph of what we will look like, generally through the ages. We also get to choose exit opportunities, meaning opportunities to pass, or more specifically, to die and return and come back home. And in addition to that, we also choose at least one challenge. I call it the hara, the trauma of the day. Very rarely does a soul come in for a vacay. Oftentimes, we come here for soul growth opportunity. There are enlightened ones, ascended masters, ones who've just been so beaten up with a very tricky, challenging incarnation that they just need rest. So they come back down, they enjoy the experience, but they're there to rest. And others vibrate so highly with that enlightenment that just their mere existence in a physical body helps raise the vibration of others. So that's just in a nutshell what pre-birth planning is.
Okay. Now, how can someone, I know I'm hearing someone listening say, but what if I change my mind? What if I get here and I decide, you know what, this isn't really what I wanted after all?
Okay. Before we come in, we put events down on the timeline. Some of them have higher probabilities of happening than others. When there is a very, very, very high probability of something occurring, after you've incarnated and you want to change that, it's quite difficult to fight it. It's just very
right.
difficult to break a contract. I'm sure it can be done. I'm sure it has been done and it will be done. But again, if it's been chosen before you are incarnated for a great soul growth opportunity, the chances are that the person's higher self might not go along with the person's third dimensional self saying, screw it, I don't want to do this. I can't do this, because the higher self is going ting, 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 and tapping them
right.
saying, but don't you remember? You got to do this. We talked about this. If there's a lower chance of it happening, I believe there's a lot of wiggle room. That's the beauty of free will choice, which determines a goal of our incarnation after we've planned and then we're now in a physical body. And if you change the timeline, it doesn't mean that you screwed up by changing the contract. You're just changing your story, and then you have a new set of soul growth opportunities before you.
Right. Now, it always, every time I mention that we have contracts that we agree to before we are incarnate here, someone asks, what would the purpose be of incarnating and then going through such a difficult life, or diseases, or, you know, cancers, or traumas of some type or another? And I've always said it's a soul growth opportunity is what you're choosing then. Is that
yes.
correct? And how does that work? Do you think that people come back and choose to go through everything at one time so that the next time they are incarnated, it's easier? Or what is your feeling around that?
Okay, there are two parts to that. So the first part is that there are quite a few reasons why a person comes down to experience difficulties. The one that just blows my mind, and just to back a little bit, I'm a healer and a psychic, and that I go into many people's pre-birth planning sessions when I do healings and readings for folks, and I learn why they would, you know, I will say to a client, do you want to know why you were orphaned? Do you want to know? People are like, yeah, I sure as heck like to know now. And one of them, which jazzes me because it's so exciting, it's cuckamonga, is that we're even curious. I channeled for a friend about her daughter. The reason why she wanted epilepsy
mm-hmm.
is because she was curious. She had heard about it in the realm at home, back on the other side. She had heard about epilepsy, and she was curious. And she wanted to have the experience because she had never had it before. So that's one way that a soul can grow if they haven't experienced it before. Many people, I've learned, many people have schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, many of them, because
right.
they wanted to come into the world slanted or off and not with us. And they found it very curious. Autism, learning disability, they came in, that's really wild. I'm really curious to know what that's all about. I heard about it. Let me do that one. That's one way. Another way, and it's usually the reason why, usually is karma. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. we have an experience here in Earth School where we go to our passing with unforgiveness towards self and or others. We
right.
have crossed either ourself, forgetting that we're a holy God spark, or that another one is part of us, we are all one, and that we have crossed them and hurt them as we have hurt ourselves. And when we go back home upon our passing, at some point, lovingly, without punishment, we are reminded, you know, you're going to have to do a do-over. We call that karma.
Right.
So we play out in a pre-birth planning session. We come up with ways that we can learn, and it's challenging. We come up with a challenge or two or nine or 100 for us to learn. We can learn if we were a victim, we could be a victim again. If we were a victim, we could learn by opposites, as it's called, and we can be the victimizer. There are many different ways you can play out karma. If the other person has forgiven you, but you have not forgiven them, you do not have to play out the karma with them again unless they choose to be of service. They don't have to. And you will then play out your karma with another soul who comes forward, who either you have karma with, or they choose there's some issue that they need to wrangle with, and they will play that part for you to work through your karma with them. So those usually are the reasons why a person would come down and play out a challenge. And we love it here, by the way. So oftentimes we're chomping at the bit to do these things. That's just the general reason why we get to play here to expand our souls.
Yeah, it's fun. Now, I want to touch on karma because someone asked me recently, actually, the other day, isn't karma always a negative thing? And it isn't really always a negative thing, is it?
I think someone mentioned that to me recently. I believe that the term karma is misused. And I believe when someone says good karma, if you could just get rid of the word karma and you could say good energy or massive rewards, great hit, I think that's more appropriate. I think karma is when there is unforgiveness. There is the unforgiveness upon passing, and it is the negative energies, the bindings that connect you to another, or you are now bound to work something through with yourself if you haven't forgiven yourself.
Okay.
That's what I believe. I think it's just a misused term.
Okay. Yeah,
it sounds great. Oh, that's good karma. Yeah. I probably say, I would then interpret it. Then if I'm just chatting with someone, I go, yeah, I'm not going to start lecturing.
Right.
But
right.
I know that they mean they did a good deed and it's come back as a blessing. They saw the rewards of their efforts. It came back in some energetic way or physical way or both.
Yeah, I know people do get tripped up on what that word means. I want to back up just a step here and talk about we do meet the same people over and over and over again, lifetime after lifetime. Do you find that there are people who are reluctant to believe that? Because I find, especially in relationships, when you have someone who has a relationship who is going through growth or changes or a new relationship even, people are really reluctant to think that they've had this type of a lifetime with this same person before. Do you find that as well?
I do. I think that if they're not awakened, if they're not open to the possibility of other lifetimes, they could keep replaying this with this. There are a few types of loops. They could have a person where they keep having a relationship, breaking up, coming back, break up, come back.
Right.
And it's just unceasing. It keeps going through their lives. That to me, there's a sign. Something's up. And then they could have other people come through doors, just revolving doors. They're just different people, all with the same pattern. That's also a sign. So if they're not open to the possibility that there's more going on here than I love them so much I can't get rid of them, or, oh, I'm so, you know, just therapy isn't working.
Right.
I just don't listen to my therapist. I keep making poor choices. Then they are kind of stuck. They're kind of stuck. The person that is open to that possibility, it's great for them to take a look at this and say, I bet I know them from somewhere else.
Right.
And if it's not feeling good, they can do the forgiveness work. They don't need a healer. All they need to do is say, I forgive you. They don't have to be in person. The person doesn't even have to be alive. You can release karma with that person, the patterned person, by throwing it out there and saying, you know, I think there might be karma at play here. Let's just end this nonsense. And you can also hedge bets and put it out there that maybe you didn't forgive yourself. So you say, you know, you forgive yourself. Karmic work only works if you truly believe it. So if you just half-assed say, I forgive you, and you don't really mean it, it doesn't stick.
Right.
Now, I did want to go back to something. It was a question you asked, and I said there were two parts, but I didn't answer the second part.
Right.
And that second part had to do with, I think you had asked about a person coming into a lifetime and getting rid of a lot of karma in one lifetime.
Right.
I believe that this usually happens with souls who have been around the block, meaning that they have come to Earth many, many times. We call them old souls.
Yep.
And that a person who has experienced Earth many times and knows the ropes, even having that veil of forgetfulness or the veil of unknowing put before them where they don't remember the plan once they're here, they still choose to sock it to themselves by putting a lot on their plate in a pre-birth planning session to try and rid themselves of a lot of karma, or you can call it balancing karma. Putting many unresolved issues on your plate gives one the opportunity to lighten their load. I'm sure that not only do you grow spiritually, but you expand and you probably raise your vibration. You might even become spiritually gifted. You might become quite enlightened a soul if you, in fact, are successful. Many people don't remember that they socked it to themselves. They need not pity themselves. In fact, they should pat themselves on the back and say, darn, I'm a courageous soul, and I chose to fill my plate up in that cafeteria in the sky with a load of challenge for me to transcend so I could grow and clear.
Absolutely. Now, is there a way that we here can remember what our plan was?
Well, I think that has to do with where the person, and this isn't about leveling, so when I describe this, I'm going to try and use descriptive terms without making it sound like there's a better than, less than.
Right.
Souls
right.
develop, and souls go to levels of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the basic understanding, and then you move higher and higher and higher in your expansion of consciousness. I know that sounds cosmic. It's very esoteric. If a person goes from kindergarten and is playing with blocks and then is ultimately using graphing paper and then ultimately talking about quantum physics, there's a difference in their ability to understand, to comprehend the world. So on that level, I believe that Hang on one second. I feel like I lost my thought because it got so grand. I was in quantum physics world for a moment. Just give me that one key wording again for what your question was.
Can we remember our plan?
Thank you, Key. I'm back. Yeah. I went off somewhere. I traveled. I think that a person who has transcended, a person who is an old soul, a person who has reached that aha, I believe that they can go inside. Some people do with past life regression. Other people go there with meditation. Other people go to healers to be activated, to be opened, and there are all different ways. Some people trip on ayahuasca, and that does it for them. I'm not saying that one needs to go trip. What I'm saying is there are many roads to enlightenment. Oh, did I just mention a radio show? I believe that one can, if they wish to. A person who is closed, a person who has said, I never will see, I do not want to. If a person is contracted before coming in, that they have no interest in going to a certain point, then they will remain quite three-dimensional and they won't be there. So it has to do with the will, and it has to do with where the person is in terms of their spiritual development.
Right. That's, I like the way you explained that, because everyone is different. And what I have found is quite often the people who will come to me or to other teachers that I know, and they will say, I want to remember what it was that I have forgotten or who it was that I really am. Those are the people that really are already open to progressing, to growing their soul, to learning more. And the rest of the people are just like, I don't know what you're talking about, and that's that, you know, I don't care. So, yeah, that's what happens, or how can someone, let's put it a different way, how can someone who is growing their soul and open and awaken, how can they deal with people around them who are not? I find there's a lot of conflict there. And my opinion is that that is part of our pre-birth planning, that we put ourselves in those situations. But there something that we could say on the show that would help people listening maybe cope a little bit better or understand a little bit better?
Okay, so there are many reasons why a person who is awakening or fully awakened for that matter, why they would put themselves in a town, a neighborhood, a school, a workplace, a relationship, a family where the others are closed. It could be karma. You could choose it because you were given the business by them and you're going to get it again to forgive. It could be because you are vibrating at a certain energy level, a certain vibration or frequency that is so high. The light quotient that is coming from that individual is raising the vibration of the people around them. I did a reading for someone who was vibrating so high that I learned that in their job, with their commuting on the turnpike to and from, that just in their passing the cars on the turnpike, they were helping raise the vibration of the other souls.
Wow.
You could walk through a grocery store and you could do that as well. So again, those are some reasons. And also, some people, there are some enlightened souls, ones that are awakening, that their egos get involved and they feel that they're better than, because they now see truth. And that it's a great socket to me, it's quite brilliant to be forced to be with the souls that aren't, because it's about humility and it's about remembering where you came from. And rather than being superior, you could be a role model, you could be a witness, you could be a teacher, you could be humble and quiet. You could even learn from souls who are not where you're at just by being different, by their being different. So, again, this isn't a pity party where we're to feel badly that we're amongst souls that haven't gotten there yet. There's another piece to it also. You could have souls that are enlightened ones that are taking on the guise of an unenlightened one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they could be there to teach. The homeless soul in the cardboard box could be an archangel in disguise. So that's also, so you never know who you are among. And many people, again, many people who are raising their vibration and getting it, they judge. So be careful who you judge, because it's pretty interesting. You go back home, you've got karma. You know, the guy that was in the cardboard box that you dissed? By the way, that's Archangel Gabriel. You know, I don't want to hear that.
Right. No, absolutely not. Forgiveness plays such a huge, huge part in our lives. And I really think that forgiveness is really key to not only being healthy and happy, but getting those material things that we all want and are awfully nice to have sometimes too. How can someone, if there's something or an exercise or a tip or a tool you could tell people that would help them forgive, that is just such a huge part of everything?
Well, I call forgiveness the underrated F word. And I think that people remember Jesus saying, forgive them for they don't know what they are doing.
Right.
And that people also don't necessarily understand turning a cheek because they think that then the person wins. I think that this isn't about winning or losing. I think actually you win when you forgive, because you don't, by forgiving, you release any bonds. What's even better than doing forgiveness work is to not cross a soul, to not blame yourself or another, to not hold anger, contempt, jealousy, rage, pity towards someone, with someone.
Right.
If you can get to that place where you can pull back and know that every single thing before you, every soul, every rock and air speck and lint ball is a God spark having an experience in creation, and that we're all one, you might not necessarily want to upset the apple cart, because you, in fact, are hurting yourself. It's like rattling a cage,
right,
but you're attached to the cage, so you're going to feel the reverb.
Right.
Ego. Right. Ego is what keeps people from forgiving, and that it as if there's a winner and a loser. I believe that the universe is gorgeously balanced. So if one person pushes, then the universe pushes back. Do you see the pushback? Possibly. You could. You might not. But if you trust that the universe is looking for that yin-yang or the homeostasis, the balance, then you can let that go and say, you know what, I'm going to surrender it. I know that there's a reason for this. I will do what's in my control, let the rest go. Bless the person put out there. May you heal. Ask for more angels to be sent over to them. Put white light around them, the highest frequency, which is love. Throw white light over at them and go on your way.
Right.
You can carry, if a person is having difficulty with an individual, you can carry a grounding stone. You can carry rose quartz, which is about love of self and love of another. You can carry clear quartz, which brings in divine energy. You can call upon Archangel Michael for protection. You can call upon Jesus for knowledge and love. Mother Mary, she loves peace. She's all about peace and comfort, so if you're upset, she can bring in her wonderful, velvety feeling of love. There are many, many souls, Buddha, and it goes on and on, all the souls, the angels, archangels, star beings, who are there to assist us so they can get us off of the ledge, to take us down a little bit, to remind us that this is a grand movie that we're making, and it's not about winning and losing.
Right, and since you've brought this up, I'd like to talk a little bit about guides, if you don't mind, because
sure.
I think people don't really understand. In my mind, when I think of guides or universal guides or spirits or whatever, I sort of lump Jesus and Mary and angels and ancestors and into that category, because they are always communicating with us. We just
yes.
often don't hear them. So
right.
for someone listening who may be just starting out, even thinking about angels or guides of any kind, do you have something that you would share with a beginner who is just kind of trying to figure this out about
oh,
working
sure.
with guides?
Oh, sure. Well, in a pre-birth planning session, if we go back to the theme of the day,
mm-hmm.
we choose usually about two spirit guides to be with us from the moment that we are born to the moment that we pass. But they don't necessarily have to be in the employ for that long. You can change them out. There can be agreements in the higher realms that they aren't with us for the whole time. But let's say they are. You choose a soul that you trust and admire, one that specializes in issues that you are working on or which you wish to explore, or both. And they choose to, and you have known them. You have walked the earth with them. You know them in some way. And they go there. They go and stay over at home, and you come down into a body. And in the ethers, in the higher realm, they chat with us, and they're with us. They could be talking about romance. They could be talking about career, finance, family, health, attitude, sleep, drugs, love, self-love, you name it. It could be anything. And they aren't necessarily, they can also have an essence. They could be star beings. They could be consciousnesses. What is a consciousness? It could be a like-minded group of souls that come together as a collective to speak right. with one voice. You could have angels. This is a devic realm. You could have archangels. You could have ascended masters, ones that have walked the earth, that have achieved enlightenment, and they love us dearly. They also have stories and special, they have, how would you say, they're known for certain strengths, certain traits that they would bring to us, their gifts. And you could have a revolving door of ones that are working with you at one time, and then they leave, and then others come in. There are also scholars. There are souls that specialize in anything from all over creation that could also come in. If you're designing a chessboard, you could have scholars that know about math and geometry and physics and marble or ivory or whatever the like, or gaming, come in and assist you, and you wouldn't necessarily know it. Now, how do you right. start? What I mentioned to people, you go to a place where you feel comfortable. Usually people choose their home, but some people like being outside, and you connect, and you get quiet, and you go, hi. And then you can have a conversation in your head or out loud, and you could request the highest of Christ light consciousness to come in. Now, why do I say that, and why is that so important? Because if you open yourself up, you could have lower energies come in, and you could then be misguided. So if you right. wish to connect and receive information, you don't want interference. The ones that are already with you and connected with you with agreements, they will be of the highest of Christ-like consciousness, I believe. If I believe that is so, I've actually not gone into that for verification, but I believe that we are to be connected with the highest when we're guided. You can ask your guides, you could say, show me a sign, or tap on my shoulder, or tickle the back of my neck, or show me glints in the corner of my eye to show me that you're there, or show me rainbows. And that might be a nice way for you to get validation that they're with you. If you follow your gut, you follow your intuition, that is, in fact, your spirit guidance. So they are with you, and you can have conversations with them. Know that they hear you, and then you get quiet again. Watch the miracles happen. If you request information about a screenplay that you're writing, please connect me with the people for them to consider my screenplay. Thank you. It's very important to just say thank you. They like that. Then watch it unfold. Keep your eyes open. Keep yourself open to all realms of possibility. If you fear or doubt that anything will happen, you have blocked the experience.
And that's a perfect segue for talking a little bit about fear, because that, in my opinion, and with clients that I've worked with through the years, fear more things than anything else.
That's right.
How
fear
do we deal with
is
fear?
The kicker.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
If anyone has read The Secret, seen the DVD, knows about the Law of Attraction, has listened to Esther Hicks' Channel Abraham, or any other soul for that matter, talking about manifesting, visualizing, creating your reality, if you doubt, if you fear, there's an energy, it's a lower vibration that twists into your story and it convolutes it. It's energy.
Right.
Fear is a vibration and love is a vibration, and you get to choose. And doubt is often part of that fear. It's important to trust the universe and consider that maybe you are more powerful than you realize, that you are the director of a fantastical movie. And that if you eliminate your doubt, you will watch miraculous things unfold.
Now, how do we do that? I know a lot of people who use positive affirmations. I have found mantras work better for me. But how can someone start on that path? I have a good friend who also is a spiritual teacher. And when she catches, and what she teaches is, if you catch yourself doubting or having fear, say clear and delete and think a positive thought. But what would you suggest that people do?
Oh, there are so many things. Oh, I'm just going to go through the laundry list. Okay. Some people need therapy. Okay, so we
that's
need
true.
To go
yeah.
there. That's third dimensional, and it's fantastic. I used to be a therapist, so I put such value towards therapy, going inward and exploring self. And many people have unresolved issues, and they are either aware of them and they haven't addressed them, or they have and they don't choose to. It's very important to clear up your personal issues and make peace with yourself and others.
Right.
Getting off the stuff. Many people are addicted. Many people are addicted to alcohol and drugs and behaviors. Very, very important to eliminate addictions. When a person is addicted, oftentimes negative energies find their way into their aura and then start messing with them. Fear and doubt oftentimes then are a result of other energies that are playing around with a person's mind.
Right.
If a person feels that they're psychically attacked, that's a separate thing too. They need to find a healer if they don't know how to do that themselves. They can imagine opening up their crown chakra, which is the energy center at the top of their head, and blasting white light down through their chakra pathway, all the way down the line of their body, down to their crotch. That hits the seven chakras. And you can call upon Archangel Michael for protection when you do that, and you demand that all negative energies be removed from your temple, from your vessel. So eliminating addictions also makes a person possibly more aware of energies that are not their own, and that's where that needs to be released. A person needs to be careful of what they say, do, and visualize. A person needs to take responsibility. Many people are saying, doing, and visualizing things that are not for their highest good. When a person starts hearing negative self-talk, judgment and criticism and back-sassing towards others, that will raise their vibration. And as a result of a happier person, there's less of a chance of their going to that fear place.
Right.
In terms of protection, putting white light around yourself is quite important. And also using, if you have a grounding stone, tourmaline, smoky quartz, hematite, shungite, granite, jet, onyx, just to say a few. If you wanted to carry a grounding stone, that also puts you in a more centered place. Say a grounding affirmation each morning where you envision that your feet are like roots of a tree growing deep into the earth for strength and stability. Stop watching violent TV shows and movies. Stop listening to violent music. Read books that are of a higher vibration. Get off of your technology or minimize it because of blue light, blue screens. They affect the optic nerve and the brain waves. Get out into nature. When a person, drink water. Drink water. Exercise. Try and eat organic. Sleep enough. Pray. See who's in your circle and eliminate, if necessary, those that are not rooting for you and are not for your highest good.
Right.
Change up what needs to be changed out. When you consider these things, you raise your vibration, you become clearer, more awake. And then when you wish to manifest, you've done all that you can that's in your control to bring the miracle to occur. That's my mouthful,
absolutely.
Honey pie.
And that is perfect. That is absolutely perfect. I want to have you tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Sure.
So how can they work with you?
Well, I'm in New Jersey, so folks see me locally, in person. I have a website. It's Joanies, Joanies, White Light Healing .com. I have a new website that's in the process of being developed. It's about 3 years old. So in the coming months, when that's up, it'll have all the information that I've been stockpiling for 3 years. You can also Google my name for right now, and you can find the things that aren't on my website. You can contact me via my website. I do Skype and phone sessions for folks. I'm known for being a healer, although many people use me as the psychic, where any question is on the table. And I think that's a pretty direct way. JoaniesWhiteLightHealing.com.
Absolutely, JoaniesWhiteLightHealing.com. There is a link on the show description. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk with you and to get you on this show is a special treat for me. So I really appreciate your time.
I enjoyed being here. Thank you for helping me spread a little bit more about Earth School and why we might have just showed up.
And we will have you back on. We will continue this conversation, I am certain, at another time. Thank you again for your time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, have a beautiful, beautiful day. Bye, guys.
Bye.